The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We have Turf Racing in Tipperary this evening, and joining me on the line to look at the action is William Hill's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Very well, Mark.
Good. Some decent handicaps and interesting maidens this evening in Tipperary.
Yeah, not bad at all. Not bad a little card at all, no. Quite confident of a successful evening.
Good. Good confidence is what we want to hear on these podcasts. And have you got some pretty strong bets this evening then for us, Andy?
Yeah, got two really. Bookending the car, the first race is my nap. Runs in that race, and then hopefully at least finish the card strong with a decent selection in the 7:35. In between, not as confident, but if we can get one or two out of them as well, that'd be a bonus.
Okay, well, if the nap is in the first race, let's move on to that then. And we start at 4:35 in Tipperary this evening, and we start with a race over 7.5 furlongs for four-year-olds that since the 1st of June 2013 have not won a listed race or been placed first, second or third in a group race. And Sun on the Run is the 13-8 market leader. Rock Critic is 4-1, 5s for Beacon Lodge. Canary Row is also 5s, and then 6s for Bubbly Bellini, 15-2 for Akira, who is the outsider of this six-runner field, Andy. So Sun on the Run, quite a fairly solid favourite this morning. Do you think it's rightfully so?
Yeah, I do. I was quite impressed with the way he got the job done the other day down in Cork. He was well back that day. He was a bit unlucky the first time, and that's one of the reasons why punters got with him when he was 6 behind Great Minds in a 6-furlong race at the Curra. He tried to get a run at the rail. He was well drawn that day, 13-13, but unfortunately things didn't quite pan out and he got stopped a few times in his run. And he never really got up ahead of steam, in all honesty. He went back to Cork, which is a track where he's won before, and of course we saw what he did. He managed to outstay a horse called Shukahan, who won a handicap in a very impressive fashion at the Curra on Sunday, thus boosting the form. The time figure for that race is really, really good. It's one of the fastest time, if not the fastest time, I've got so far this season in Ireland. And if he reproduces that kind of number against this field again tonight, don't forget he's reposing up against Beacon Lodge and Canary Row, which he should beat again, then really he's only in theory got Rock Critic to worry about, who of course is a useful hurdler in his day and has got some good form on the flat, but he hasn't had a run this season. So hopefully with fitness on his side, Sun on the Run can get punters and podcasters off to a flyer.
Okay, Sun on the Run then in the opening race. The second race is the 5:05, and this is a handicap over 7 furlongs, and only 4 of them in the lineup. But you could state a case for all of the runners here. Coldstream heading the betting this morning at 13-8. Focused 7-4. The Panhandler is 4-1, and 9-2 for Paddy Mack. A potentially tactical affair, Andy, and you couldn't really write any of them off with real confidence. So, what are your thoughts in the 5:05?
Yeah, this is an intriguing little race here. You know, the old classic adage, all four can be fancied, is a bit of a throwaway phrase, because sometimes that isn't the case. But I do actually agree with that statement on this occasion. And I'm going to take a bit of a punt here with one. What's called the Panhandler. He was a bit disappointing on a few starts last season, but if you actually strip away his poor runs and look at his good runs, then he should win this, really. And that's saying a lot, considering the horse is 10-1 outside of the four. I actually make him a good thing to win this race if he can run up to the two pieces of form which he's got on his dance card, which stand out. The second two, Craftsman, horse rated 95, trained by Aidan O'Brien, of course, went on to win a group race later on in the season at Leopardstown. That was when it came at Listowel on softest ground, and he chased home Aidan O'Brien's charge that day. Really good run. Nothing wrong with that fourth at Cork over 7 furlongs in the middle of October behind Go for Goal, who of course has won a listed race so far this season for Dermot Weld, and he's rated 94. So he's been running against horses who are in the 90s, and he comes here off a mark of 75. He was a bit disappointing on his final start last season for one reason or another. But, and this is the key factor, could be the key factor in tonight, he's got blinkers on for the first time. Clearly connections thinkers, though, he's not been putting it in for one reason or another. And hopefully the headgear, if it does work, certainly he's capable of beating this field. I mean, you know, the other three, Paddy Mac hasn't had a run. We've seen Coldstream run at Dundalk, but it's got no four on soft ground. And, you know, Focus isn't the most reliable of individuals, albeit he's probably a worthy favourite on balance. But that time down in Cork the other day was a pretty modest one. So, all things being equal, I do think the Panhandle has got quite a bit in hand over this field. I'm not sure what price he is this morning, but if the blinkers work, I think he can win this easily.
Okay, 4-1 for the Panhandle this morning.
Christ, he's a lot shorter than I thought. Yeah, right. There we go. Well, yeah, one or two people are looking at the same things I'm looking at.
Yeah, he's actually third favourite in the race. Paddy Mack is the outsider, whereas if you look at some tissues this morning, the Panhandler was expected to be a double-figure price,
exactly,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he's never a 10-1 chance in this world.
No. Okay, 4-1, is that fair enough, though, do you think, for his chances?
Well, it's a bit soul-destroying when I'm doing the preview thinking he might be double-figured. I suppose, given my glamour appraisal, then 4-1's about right.
Okay. Right then.
Still, really.
The Panhandler then in the 505. Moving on to the 535 next, and this is race 3 on the card. And this is a handicap over the extended 7 furlongs, and 15 of them in the lineup for this one. And we're probably going to have something like 7-2, 4-2 on the fielding in this, and it's quite a competitive race. What are your thoughts in the 535?
Yeah, not a particularly strong view in this race. Obviously a lot of these have had their first run of the season recently, and they haven't really cut much ice or shaped with that much imminent promise. And one of those is a horse called Man of Erin, trained by Johnny Levins. I'm just going to take a little bit of a guess while I punt with him that he can bounce back to his very best form. Not as though he ran badly last time out when he was 11th in a red hot race down in Leopardstown. Regular podcasters will be aware that I was very keen on a horse called Conan's Rock the other night when he went to Limerick, and he justified short price favouritism because of the speed figure that John Gorman's charge generated that evening. And anything in and around that form or that ran with a degree of encouragement, I've kind of like just marked off as a horse to keep an eye on. We also saw Liberty to Rock, who finished fourth in that race. He ran well on the same evening down in Limerick. He was a bit unlucky, actually. Probably got going a bit too late. But I'm really encouraged by that race, the way the race is panning out. And although Man of Erin finished 11th, he was, you know, he had top weight, and you know it was a difficult race to be competitive in because they'd gone so quickly. Now he takes a massive class drop here. He started off the season, funny enough, in the Irish Lincoln, rated 83, and the handicap has really cut him some slack here because he's gone down to 74, which he ran off the other night. Now he races off 70, and it means that he's actually going down two grades from what he started at the beginning of the season. Now this gives him a really good opportunity here. He's also got Ronan Whelan on to take off an extra 3, and like I say, speed figure wise, he actually comes out top of my ratings here. So even though there's one or two at the front end, like Fear Shirok, who won well the other night, and Harley's Harley, Jem Bat, that, you know, the regulars in these kind of races got more persuasive claims, I'm just tempted to have a few quid on Man of Erin here. I think he slipped under the radar, and you know, he's in a wide open race, he might be worth a few quid at a price. I don't know what price he is in the morning, but he's bound to be at least 14-16-1. At the very least. So let's have a go with Man of Erin.
Okay, Man of Erin then each way at a potential double figure odds in the 535. The 605 is race 4 on the card, and this one is a filly's maiden over a mile and 1 furlong, and Spirited is a significant non-runner in the lineup here. So that'll probably leave Tigra at the top of the betting, Andy, and she's had a few goes at it yet to break the maiden tag, but do you think the experience will count here?
No, I don't like Tigra.
Confident no there.
Just a straight no, yeah. Put the fork in Tigra. Started off at a Group 3, obviously 50-1, you know, wasn't good enough, simple as that. And then got beat the other day by a nice horse called Tahani. Now, that is the key for me. I made a golden mistake the other day when I was getting involved in a race at the Curra and suggested Aidan O'Brien's horse might beat a horse called Sincal, even though Dermot Weld had the key form line. I still went for the experienced Aidan O'Brien runner, and it's not going to happen again this time, because obviously Dermot Weld trains Tahani. Now he'd have some idea of how he stands in this race, because he's got the likely favourite in the shape of Eldamira, filly by Pontres Celeb, having her debut, really nicely bred, obviously, and this looks a really good starting point up against what, in all intents and purposes, is a weak maiden, and I imagine she'd be very strong in the betting. And you look at the way that Dermot Weld started his season, I think he's had 20 winners and counting, etc., and you know, look at the maidens he's been winning, the likes of Sparkle Factor, Tihani, of course, won at Cork, Ebiani, Sincal, Stormfly, his maidens are all winning, and I think he's got a good handle on the early season maiden form. And like I say, without seeing the betting here, I'd expect Aldemira to justify a good degree of market support.
Okay, on to the 6:35, and this is race 5 on the card. And this is a Colts and Geldings maiden over a mile and 1 furlong. And again, we've got interesting runners from the likes of Dermot Weld and John Ox and the like. And Aidan O'Brien's got one in there as well. Jim Bolger, Tommy Stack. It's quite a good field in terms of trainers, Andy. Which horses stand out to you here?
Well, the one on form is Bocker, Tommy Stack's charge. I actually mentioned that horse the night when Johann Strauss was a wild odds on chance. I think he was about 3-1 on the morning. He actually went off 4-5. I think everyone in the world knew that Johann Strauss wasn't fit and ready to do himself justice on the heavy ground at Leopardstown, and it panned out. But I did say Bocker at 20-25-1 in the morning was a viable each-way alternative, and he almost went and won the race. And he got beat to nose. It was a race that was won by Jim Bolger's Fiscal Focus, who was all the rage in that particular race. I don't think it's bad form at all. They went slow in that race, and they kind of quickened off the turn. I think that's one of the reasons why Johann Strauss didn't run up to his best. It became a bit of a dash to the line, but Bocker coped with it really well. Now, if they go slow again here tonight, he's obviously going to play into the strength of Bocker, because I've got no hesitation in suggesting he's got the quickest turn of foot in this race. He's a little bit of a ball of muscle, this downhill dancer colt. He's very compact and he can quicken instantaneously. So, if they don't get much of a pace here, they're going to set it up for the fit and ready to rock and roll Bocker. So he would be my selection, but I suggest we have a look at a couple in the betting. Falkirk, obviously, colt by Monjo out of Jewel in the Sand, beautifully bred in the purple. To match his colours, of course. And also keep an eye on a horse called Caesaria, who's a lovely, big, tall, rangy, scopey son of See the Stars, who, for me, was far too backward and weak to do himself justice last season. But he did run fourth in a decent Leopardstown maiden towards the back end. It was a race at Fiscal Focus, the aforementioned Bolger horse, finished second in behind Adelaide, one of Aidan O'Brien's. I think that race is actually okay. And I've just put him down as a horse who might improve significantly as he goes into his three-year-old campaign. So keep an eye on those two I mentioned, Caesar and Falkirk, but I've got to stick with the informed Bocker, particularly if they go slow again.
Okay. Bocker then in the 6:35, the 7:05 rather, is the next race, and this is a handicap over a mile and 1 furlong, 5 of them in the lineup, and John Constable heads the betting, the Aidan O'Brien colt, Joseph O'Brien in the saddle, and John Constable has gone off at 5-4 or shorter on all of his runs, but yet to win, and he let favourite backers down again, and those supporting him at Navan on Saturday when he just wouldn't go past the winner on that occasion. And is it time to start questioning his willing to go past horses?
Well, you've always got to bear that in mind, and particularly if you're backing the horses at short prices, you've got to be fearful of that. I actually thought that race wasn't a bad one the other day. It does actually come out quite well on the numbers. There was a 4 races on the round track, and this one came out the second best. Actually, it was the best of the 3 sort of 3-year-old races. Palace was actually the quickest on the card, but the Bally Sachs and won by Fascinating Air, and there was another horse in the, there was another trial race as well, was also slower than Urban Moon's race. So for a handicap, actually it wasn't a bad standard. It's just whether, as you say, the horse has got a touch of the twices about him, and he's a bit of a thinker. If he's going to get caught out here, it might well be Aussie Valentine that is the one that steps up to the plate. It was a wildly impressive winner when sent off favourite in October to win the Dundalk Maiden. He did it in quite nice fashion. He's had a little bit of a mini break. I'm not sure why he didn't go through the Dundalk campaign. Obviously, Paul Deegan's got his eye on 1 or 2 prizes in the spring, and he comes off a reasonable handicap mark. Not obviously, chucked in off a mark of 85, but it could well be that he's competitive off that kind of rating. And of course, the Deegan runners have started fantastically, haven't they, this season? He had another winner down in Dundalk for us last night called Prince of All, who looks a really special colt in the making, and Shrukahan and Truthahan both won at the Curragh on Sunday. So reluctantly, even though I do think John Constable is the benchmark for this race, as you said, he's a desperately short price. So let's go with Aussie Valentine. He might just represent a little bit of value in this race.
Okay. One thing about John Constable, Andy, just to get your thoughts, aside from this race, do you think the plan will be to step him up in trip, being a brother to Leading Light, and on the breeding, it looks as if he probably wants somewhere near a mile and a half?
I think that's probably what it is, yeah. He probably just hasn't got the speed, is he, at the moment, to cope with 1 or 2 horses who are just doing for toe. Put it this way, if he couldn't win over a mile and a quarter at Navan, then dropping back to Mole one round Tipperary, then you'd have to obviously cast a bit of a shadow over him. The one thing I will say is that Joseph O'Brien's a master in these kind of races where nothing else wants to lead. So if he does get his own way in front on a horse who stays well, potentially, then you know, I wouldn't rule it out, Joseph O'Brien making all the running on this fella. But just as a pure price angle, I thought Ozzy Valentine represented some good value in that race.
Yeah, and a few people agreeing with you. 92 into 72 for Ozzy Valentine this morning. The 7.35 is the final race on the card, and we finish with a handicap over a mile and a half, or the extended mile and a half. And Dalian heads the betting this morning at 4-1. 5-1 for All About Alfie. Sixers for Trina Sealer. Ibsen is 13-2, 15-2 for Star Power. New Ellen is also 15-2. It's 9-1 for South Southwest, and then 14-1 for Burren Bridge Lodge, and 16s or bigger prices for the remaining runners. So a really competitive end to the card, Andy. And you say you quite fancy winning this. So which one is it?
I do, yeah. I quite like All About Alfie here. I was really impressed with the way he dug deep the other day in a competitive handicap down in Garvin Park. I like the fact that the front two, him and Southwest, who reposes here today, pulled 19 lengths, no less clear, of a horse who travelled well in the race called Lethal Weapon. It signifies that race was a good race on the numbers. And when I did the speed figure, it was no great surprise to find it the fastest furlong per furlong time on the card. In other words, All About Alfie really did put those horses in that race through the pain barrier, and he's likely to do the same again here today. There are one or two other horses in the race who could potentially be a slight annoyance, in the sense that they like to race up with a pace, but I'm not sure that they'll want to get involved in any head-to-head skirmishes with All About Alfie, who, like I say, does go very strongly from the front. And, you know, if he keeps serving it up with the fitness on his side, he could take a bit of stopping here. Shami Heffernan, of course, teams up with him again. Now, he's drawn stall 14, and the guy in the racing post is quite right to point out that the draw could well be a little bit of an irritant. That's Johnny Ward. But I actually don't mind here at Tipperary, because sometimes being drawn on the outside actually forces that jockey's hand. It actually means that they've got to go straight from the gun, and at least they get a clear run to the bend with nothing else on their right-hand side, so they basically get a clear passage. So I'm actually not too fussed about the draw, to be honest. I think it'll allow him to make his mind up early on and get to the front. So if that's the case, then All About Alfie's going to take plenty of pegging back here. He's already been good from the front last time. Let's hope he can do it again.
Okay, All About Alfie then, hopefully to make all in the 7.35. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections, Andy, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through them one more time.
Yeah, we'll get the nap out of the way in the first race. Sun on the Run, really strong speed figure down at Court the other day. Hopefully he can run it to the same kind of form. The Panhandler's a bit of a chancy one in the second, but with the blinkers on, he might well work the Oracle. He's certainly got some good back class to be competitive in that race. I'll take a fly with Man of Erin, who looks as though he's got unconvincing figures in the 5.35, but if you delve a bit deeper, he's got probably a better chance than his odds suggest. I'll go with the unraced Eldermere in the 6.05. That looks very much a race within her capabilities, if she's anything up to scratch. Bocca, with the fitness on his side, gets a vote in the 6.35. John Constable, probably a worthy favourite on balance in the 7.05, but I like the form of the Deegan Yard, so we'll go with Ozzy Valentine as a value choice. And in the final race, All About Alfie, strong front runner, good number behind him, fitness on his side. Let's hope he can do the job again.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with your selections in Tipperary this evening, and I will speak to you again later on in the week.
Yep, cheers, Mark. Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.